This morning, our thoughts center around that phrase that came to my mind the other day. And I'm confident that we all have the struggle sometimes, the responsibility is ours, the privilege also to keep our hearts. I don't think the Bible would have said that if we didn't have the ability to have some effect on our heart. And you think about your heart, you try to identify that. What part of that is me? What part is that of me that is the heart? Is it just this muscle that has these four chambers that pumps blood? Is that what it's talking about? I don't think that is the definition of what the Bible is talking about here. I believe it has more to do with our affections, our desires, our the things that we put importance on in our life. And let's go over into Matthew, maybe in our mind. We won't turn there right now. Over in Matthew, I think it's the 6th chapter where Jesus was talking about the treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we're going to go after and move toward the places where our love and our desires are centered. That's what we're going to go after. Now, if our hearts are turned toward if we love this world, and again, all that has a definition to it, but if we love the things that turn to only gratifying the flesh, that's where we're going to go. The Bible talks about, and we're going to find that text over in Proverbs, the 4th chapter. And perhaps we'll start. This is a psalm of David, Solomon. I'm sorry, this is a psalm. There's a proverb of Solomon. And I want to pick up here perhaps in the maybe 20th verse, I suppose. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. 19th verse that was. Then it says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Well, there's a whole lot there, and I won't try to micro-dissect that this morning, but I'm going to leave that. I believe there's enough understanding that we all have to recognize that he is encouraging us to be very careful the way where I let my affections, my heart go out after, because it has effect on what happens in our life. The Bible, there is a thread throughout the whole expanse of the Scripture that encourages and instructs humans in a path to go. And it's not the path of the unjust. We know there's things we recognize inherently. We know some things are wrong, and we shouldn't go down that path. And the Lord has given us grace and strength that we don't have to give ourselves over to those things that are damaging. So Solomon, he's encouraging his son. He wanted to pass on to another generation, and God would like to pass on to this generation the recognition that we can keep our heart with all diligence. And I would like to go on now, the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is one that we could spend a lot of time with, because there's so much in here. Again, that thread of personal responsibility that God has placed on every one of us that can be kind of summed up in this: choose this day who you will serve, and also the recognition of a path that leads to destruction and a path that leads to life. Therefore, choose good. So over here in Ephesians, when we're talking about this that we're dealing with in life, Ephesians 5 and 15, I'm going to pick up this, and perhaps we might read above that. Thirteenth verse. But all things that are removed or that are reproved, are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. This, when there is a revealing to our understanding, that's light that's shed on our pathway. Wherefore, he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk. Another place says, walk in the light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as a fool, but as wise. See then that you walk circumspectly. And have you ever thought about that term and what that means? Walk circumspectly. Walk with your eyes open. Not only eyes open, that it is something that you and I can do. You know, there's sometimes the Lord will talk with us individually, and we can close our eyes to His revealing in our life. There's times that we can discount what He says to us. But that's not keeping our heart with diligence when we discount the truth that He lays before us. So the writer here, Brother Paul, is saying for us to walk circumspectly. This means walk with your eyes open, with a receiving heart, looking in all directions. Be wise. You see, it's not good to have what we call tunnel vision, is it? Please excuse my cough this morning. It's part of my cold that's been going around. But the Lord would have us to have our eyes open and recognize there are some things we realize that are just not good for us to do. Is it good for us to give ourselves to anger? Ask that to yourself. Is it good to yield myself to just be angry and let that be the eating force in my heart? It's not good, is it? We recognize that's not circumspectly to give myself to that. Nor is it wise to give myself to just feeling hurt feelings all the time. That's not walking. That's not keeping your heart with diligence. It's one of those things that would be damaging. I think of today. This is Sunday. And did you know, I don't know when the football games come on. Honestly, I don't. There might be something going on right now. But there are people that will fill football stadiums today if it's raining, if it's snowing, if it's sleeting, if people around them are drinking and cursing and doing all kind and being mad at each other in the stands, and they're going to go back next Sunday also and do the same. They're not taking offense away, are they? It would be easy to be offended, wouldn't it? Well, those people, they're a whole batch of hypocrites over there. You know, I was cheering for my team and they didn't win, and but I go back and watch them lose next Sunday too. But to come to a nice, comfortable bench, as we have, and I'm all for our padded benches, don't get me wrong. But sometimes it's a whole lot more difficult for us to set my affections on things above. You understand what I'm saying here? God help us to put our values where they're supposed to be, because where your treasure is, your heart's going to be there. That's what you'll gravitate toward. And I still stand in amazement at how many times there are things that we can focus on that seem to gratify my flesh. And I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy things in life, but be careful that we don't fix ourselves on that to the point that that pushes out God. Don't allow that to happen, because we should keep our heart with all diligence. We should be mindful and recognizing when the devil is coming for my love, when he's trying to adulterate my ideas, my desires for him, when he would like to replace that with a selfish desire, one that would just gratify my flesh. And so we understand sometimes when I'm quiet and set alone with the Lord and I listen to what He's saying to me, I begin to realize that some of these things that I'm being drawn to aren't healthy for my spirit. And the Lord would shine His light upon our pathway and reveal. And in this process of Him revealing, sometimes I can say, but I like this. And because I like that, I begin to close my eyes to the realization this isn't good for me. There's so many things we don't have to reinvent. Other people have tried it before. It's not good to go into drugs. Do you have to try that to see if it's okay? We've got enough evidence. Oh, my heart went out to a man the other day. I was going down toward the hospital, Children's Hospital, 23rd Street down in Oklahoma City. And I passed through an area and I saw a man, poor man, hanging clear over in this stupor, this probably fentanyl or some sort of opiate, and he was hanging clear over it in this stupor, just not hardly being able to stand. And I thought, what good is that? Do I have to experience that to know that drugs are bad? Open your eyes, walk circumspectly. We don't have to reinvent some of this. It's out there for our learning. We recognize it's not good. Call me a hypocrite if you must. But I know I did some things out there when I was on the devil's territory. But I want to tell you, I told my children, you don't have to experience what I experienced to know that God is sweet. You don't have to do that yourself. Stay away from it because it's damaging. And I want to tell you today, if we get out on the devil's territory, he'll leave memories in our mind we don't know how to scrape out. I know that our sins can be forgiven and cast as far as the east is from the west. And I thank God for that. I rest on that. But sometimes my memories come back. And I'm going to tell you, it's only wise to tell another generation, you don't have to do that. You don't have to. Not only do you not have to, please don't. Because many a person has went down some of those roads and have never been able to walk back. Not that God's grace is not sufficient, because it is, but many people don't know how to get back. Sometimes they get so caught up in those things. So keep your heart this morning, not only as a Christian, but as just a normal individual, wherever you are today. I want to tell you, don't give your heart, don't give your passions, your desires to the wrong influence. The devil is what we call him. And the reason why I ask and tell us not to do that is because the thief, he's got designs on your treasures in your heart. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy is what he wants to do. But Jesus stands up in front of us and says, with great authority and love, and looks us in the face and said, but I am come that you might have life. And that you might have that life more abundantly. That is the Lord that we serve today. So I want to encourage us today. We don't have to follow that other path. See, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, taking the time that we have right now. And I want to tell you, the devil is busy trying to steal our time and our energies and our thoughts, trying to focus them in a different direction. But there's a redeeming, there's a grabbing hold of my mind and bringing it back into subjection. There's a grabbing hold again of the things that the devil would steal from us and the time thief, and what bring it back into subjection. Redeeming that time. And I'm just going to be perhaps vulnerable and open to you this morning. And I think probably most of you will understand what I'm saying. You know, one of the biggest time thieves in the world is this thing right here. I'm not saying it's evil, but I'm saying be careful, walk circumspectly, keep your heart, you see. See, the devil would like to get us, yes, you can say, and I do, I use my electronic devices in Bible study. I just do. But that's not all. Sometimes this thing, have you ever heard of, I don't have Facebook, so I don't really know, but I hear other people tell me that they say you fall down the rabbit hole. I don't know, but I've heard you go from, you start headed down a line and you just start. And before long, you need to start redeeming, we need to start redeeming our time. Why? Because I want to keep my soul, my heart. There's things, whatsoever things are virtuous and just and think on, that's where my mind should be focused. That's where my treasure should be. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the things that are out there that surrounds my mind, that calls to my very desire to be amused. You know what that amusement, you know what awe means? That means the absence of musing. Awe, muse. I'm not musing. Then we have a song that we sing that I think is good. It says, thinking of thee, O Lord of thee, musing on things above. I'm not here to tell you you can't have entertainment. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying be careful what we give our time and our energies and our love to, because the devil would like to steal the zeal of our soul. And a lot of times with that, he'll steal the clarity of our spiritual understanding also. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a lot of things that we can lawfully partake of in this world, but sometimes those things actually take away from the gentle Spirit of the Lord in our heart. Balance it out. Let the Lord bring us to the place that those things don't steal the sweet communion that the Lord would have with us. Keep our heart. Keep thy heart with diligence. Over here in Ephesians, still in another chapter though, in the fourth chapter, we want to start perhaps in the 20th verse. Ephesians 4 and 20. But ye have not learned Christ. He's saying this to the situation he'd laid out before, maybe in the 17th verse. It says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as others, as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Their minds were centered on the wrong things. Ephesus, if you look at the history of Ephesus, it was a pretty wicked town. You ought to look into it sometime. They had, remember, great is Diana of the Ephesians? You remember that? You remember all that? You know what that was about? That had to do with a lot of immorality. The temple of Diana of the Ephesians was set and had temple attendants that were female and sometimes male. And it was for immoral ceremonies. This was the era and the place where God let His word come. And there was a congregation raised in Ephesus. And I want to tell you, dear ones, The Lord has allowed His church to still be here in 2024 where there's much evil going on around us. But God, help us to live in this world with our mind stayed on the Lord. Lights to this world. Not looking hatefully or disregarding another person. That's not what this is about. But this is about showing Christ to those around us. We are still here. Let's don't let ourselves be distracted from knowing the Lord ourselves, enjoying that relationship with the Lord, allowing it to be so rich and true within our lives that when others see you and I, they may recognize the value of how sweet this walk with the Lord is. And they might be attracted to that because this whole world that we're living in here today, maybe I say the United States that we're living in here today, and you say, well, we live in Oklahoma, part of the perhaps a buckle of the Bible Belt. I want to tell you, the devil's still here. And God, help us to live in such a way that others may see Christ in us. Ephesians 4 says, oh, don't walk as the Gentiles in the vanity of our mind. Mind set on the wrong things. I'm going after these passions instead of godliness. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. What a horrible picture he painted. But then he talked to the church, the people who were saved there, and he said, but you have not so learned Christ. That is not what Christ has provided, has created in your life. You haven't learned Christ like that. It's not through the licentiousness of this world, letting everything go and receiving, going out greedily after the things of the flesh. That's not how you learn Christ. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. This doesn't mean just conversation like we're talking here. But the conversation, what he's meaning here, is expanded beyond just normal conversation. This is expanded to the idea of all that we portray in life. A former conversation, our hearts, everybody knew. When I was out there in the world, everybody knew where my heart was because of the things I loved. The conversation, they recognized, I conversed with them. Whether I said a word or not, they knew. They observed and recognized where my love was. May God help us in when we are the children of God, that the world may see where our conversation is, where my love is. I've lost my place. 20? Maybe 21. Let's start off 21 again. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed. Be changed. Don't be the same. This is one of the great hopes that we have in the Scripture. One of the great good news, the good news of the gospel, is that we no longer have to be according to the deceitful lusts of the past, but we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that you put on the new man, clothed. A new man that Christ has created in you. Embrace that new man. Allow the Lord to be richly clothed upon you. And be displayed. Again, in doing so, there is a keeping of our heart. There's a sweetness that the Lord paints upon us. And our heart is not in the area of of being corrupted by the old deceitful lusts of this world, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, oh, so many things. Again, the scripture, again, the thread of the scripture is for us to hew down that line between good and evil and stay on the good side. Keep your heart there. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We affect each other, dear ones. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Well, I'm not going to keep on that. I want to go on now. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And perhaps we can start around the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren. This is Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I believe the Lord would have us always to give Him what little might we have. Give it all. Give Him all of our will and all of our desires and press toward the mark. I think all that is ours to do. But quite frankly, we can't save ourselves. Quite frankly, we can't reach that mark without the Lord's help. But He said He is able to help us. And He's able to save to the uttermost. That's what He says. The Lord takes us in our brokenness, in our inabilities, and He adds what we don't have. We can give Him all that we know how to, but all of that is insufficient to truly gain the victory. There's things that the Lord can help us with that we feel like is maybe not that difficult to gain victories in. But there are sometimes we face places in our life that are giants to me. It may not be to you, but some things are giants to me that won't be to you. And in those moments, we recognize our inability. That doesn't mean we don't get the victory. That doesn't mean that victory is beyond our grasp. But our sufficiency is in God. The victory is there. The 10th verse, the last part of that, and in the power of His might. So again, I want to quote another scripture connected with that. It said, let the weak say, I am strong. The Lord doesn't accuse us of, He doesn't push us away, perhaps is a better way. He doesn't reject us for being weak. He wants us to say, recognize our weakness and say, in You, Lord, I am strong. I am able to overcome in You. I don't have to be a slave to the old man any longer. Part of the blessings of the good news of Christ is that we don't have to be a slave to the old man any longer. You and I don't have to live under the tyrannical hand of Satan. Because He came to deliver us. Again, I don't want to wear this out, but it's scripture that He has translated us from this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We no longer reside under the tyrant any longer. I'm over in God's kingdom. I'm over under His authority. And I'm happily living there. I don't have to identify with failure all my life long. Oh, thank the Lord for that. The alcoholic, we can look at him and say, brother, I know you're in a battle. And I know it's difficult. But I want you to know you can gain victory over that. I want you to know that in the power of our Lord's might, we don't have to be under the slavery of that any longer. We can look at the addict and say the same thing. And you may say, Brother Ivan, you don't know what it's like to be addicted. And I will tell you, I never was addicted like that. I understand that. And I thank God for that. But I can tell you others, and there's one that was here earlier this morning that was addicted. And he could, if he was, he could stand up right now if he was here and say, I know what it's like for the Lord setting me free. He could say, well, brother, I may not be able to testify to that, but I can. And he's not the only one. Had a ministry years ago. Many of you, some of you will remember, not all will. Brother Leonard Roberts was a man that he couldn't hardly read or write. It's difficult for him to read. He was almost illiterate, but the Lord made him a minister of the gospel. Before he did, when Brother Leonard Roberts was a younger man, he got around and heard the preaching, and he in his heart he said, it's a beautiful theory, it's a beautiful thing, and I would love to have that. And he would take Brother Charles Williams around in meetings, and he would, but he himself had a drinking problem. And one night he came to the Lord and gave it all. I'm not saying there wasn't a struggle, there wasn't a press, but he got free of that. The Lord set him free. And he became a minister. And I said, as a young man under the sometimes a little bit of a stammering tongue of Brother Leonard Roberts, but something flowed from him that was more than a stammering tongue. There was a genuine love that came out of his heart and his eyes when he looked at me as a young, struggling man, and he loved me, and he wanted me to make it. And I looked back at him and saw his crippled hands and the older man that he was, and heard of some of the struggles that he had as a young man. He had an anger problem. He'd come home with he used to talk. They'd go to the cupboard, and he would be angry, and he'd start throwing dishes. What intelligence is that? It doesn't make sense, does it? But that's what the devil did to him. But there came a time he could look at a young man like me that was struggling with life and tell you there's hope in Christ. And it meant something to me because he had it himself. That's a gospel that didn't stop back then. It didn't stop a generation previous to this. It's not something that is only for, that is relegated to the memory of the past. It is something that is real to me and you today. It's real still. Keep your heart. Put on the whole armor of God. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Thank the Lord for that. He didn't say that you might possibly stand, that you might be able to stand against, put it on, that it would enable you to stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the devil has his wiles. He will have whispers that he'll put in our ear and tell us reasons why. Again, I want to tell you, it seems like church is the easiest place to get offended, isn't it? At least the devil will point it out to you. Again, I think that sometimes we'll pick up offenses so easily here, but I can go into the football stadium and accept all kinds of abuse and disappointment and go back again. Doesn't seem equitable to me. So, Lord, we are humans here today. All right. And you're going to see things differently sometimes than what I see things. But I want you and me both to fix our eyes on our Lord. Keep your heart, you see. I can, and again, there's another reason why I say, don't fix your eyes on me. As a minister, as a pastor of this congregation, don't fix your eyes on me. Listen to the word. Fix your eyes on the Lord. Look at him. Walk with him as Adam and Eve did in the cool of the day. Walk and commune with the Lord, because there's where you're going to get your strength. There's where you're going to get the grace to fill your heart for each day. This direction, you'll hear His whispers and His instruction to your heart. The light will shine upon our pathway. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And I won't argue with you very much anyway. If you're going to say, well, this is talking about our leadership out here in the world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And we can externalize that and say, well, it's all these other things I'm wrestling with. But I want to tell you where your greatest wrestling is in your mind. With yourself. With what you allow in your heart. That's the real principalities. Those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. You see, that's where the real... I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for our leaders and be concerned about it. I think we should. But the real wrestling, the spiritual wrestling that we deal with is in our heart. And it has to do with keeping our heart with all diligence. With setting our affections on things above. Dealing with that issue, that's where the principalities, there are things that rise up within me that almost sounds right into my mind. And I can excuse it because to me it seems right. I want to tell you, the devil knows how to talk very cunningly to our heart. And give us all kinds of reason to say, I have a right to feel this way. Quite frankly, we don't. Unless it's a godly thing. Unless it's a godly thought, and you do have a right there. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities. There are things that are lifted up within our own mind. And the powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world that war. These things that press against my soul and try to find legitimacy in my own heart. Rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'll tell you, yes, there's a lot of spiritual wickedness out there in high places, but be careful that it doesn't come within our heart. Be careful. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Take unto you the whole armor. There are defenses that the Lord has for you and I. There's something that the Lord is, it's a powerful armor. It's a protective force that the Lord would have you and I to embrace, to take in, to hold precious to our own heart, able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Having done all, Lord, I've done all I know how to do. I've done all. And then the Lord says, stand. Brother Paul here. Stand, therefore, stand. Having done all, continue to stand. Lord, I'm here, and I've given all I know how to, and it still isn't moved. It hasn't changed. I'm still in the battle. I still am struggling. And Paul says, fixes his eyes on us and says, brother, still stand. Keep on. Be faithful today. Keep your heart, you see, with all diligence. Don't let the devil bring this idea of total defeat and discouragement to us. Set your eyes on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that one who is riding on that white horse that's going forth, conquering and to conquer, that one who leads us in the path that is right for His name's sake, that one who knows how to strengthen you in the inner man with might in our soul. We don't have to be a defeated child of God. We don't have to. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about. This is part of the protecting and keeping of my heart. This is what I need. These are some of the things I need to bring into me and have value in my life and value them in my life. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth is a powerful thing. In this incident, when our hearts, dear ones, shrivel, our thinking becomes twisted and tainted when I don't employ truth in my heart. If we get to where, you hear the term white lies? You know what? You've heard that. Is there any white lie? I'll ask you that one. Is there such a thing as a white lie? To our minds, we can fudge the truth a little by saying, well, that's not that important. And I can shade it a little. Be careful, because I want to tell you, we're not shrouding ourselves in truth. When we open our hearts to the things that the devil... Jesus said it like this. He said, the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. But I'm afraid that if we open up our heart to something that's not truthful, well, then we've laid something in our heart that the devil has claim to. He does find something in us. So keep our hearts with all diligence. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. I was listening. I'm sorry for taking another little. I was listening to a man that used to be a mafia boss. And I was listening to him, and they killed each other. When somebody was deceptive. When one of them was deceptive and they began to realize this person is a liability, you can't trust him anymore, so they would invite him into a room in the pretext of maybe having a sit down little conference here, and then they would kill him. Because he was a liability. That's how much truth meant to a criminal organization. I'm going to tell you, if it means that much to the criminals, it should mean every bit that much to you and I. Not that we kill each other, don't get me wrong. But truth should be very important in my life. Let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay. This is also keeping our heart with diligence, being careful about what I do. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to... I got the wrong spot. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is not just a distant theory, but it is doing what we know to do that is right. It's something that we can do. God's not asking us to do something we don't know anything about. He's asking us to do what we know. Do that. Having this wrapped around you, protect your heart, you see. Protect yourself in Christ. Gird about with truth, and having on the breastplate of doing right. Righteousness before the Lord. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I don't know how you see about that, how you feel about that verse, the preparation of the gospel, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I believe that there are, the gospel has something to say to us, doesn't it? Each one of us individually. And when the Lord has done a work in your life, it ought to inspire something within me. There's this well of joy that begins to flow up from inside, the planning of the Lord that has happened in our heart. There's a change that takes place, and a change that isn't complete the first day, but a change that continues on as you walk with the Lord. This ever-changing that brings a greater measure of joy and understanding. This walking nearer to the Lord every day. This sweet place of communion with the Lord. And we have this in Christ. And it's a joy, and this is a gospel that we can share with folks around us. And this is one of the things, folks, if we just hoard this within our mind. oh, I thank the Lord I'm saved, so now I'm going to hide in the corner and keep what I've got. You're going to find that you're not keeping your heart very well. Because there should be this natural impulse, if you have such a treasure that is free to all, you would say, let's go tell some others. That should be actually the nature of a child of God. It should be something that we wouldn't have to just inspire one another. That we need to tell our neighbors. We need to show, again, Jesus said, let your light shine. Allow the Lord to be displayed in our life. Keep your heart in such a way that it's okay to talk with your neighbors. You know, if we've been arguing with our neighbors and letting them see our carnal anger and all, you're not keeping your heart, and you're not going to have your feet shod with the preparation of this good news, because you've already tainted it with bad news. So I think this is what I see in this scripture. Let your goings, your walking, the path that let it be inspired with the preparation of the gospel. Always recognize that I love my fellow man, whether I even like him today or not. But I love his heart. I want him to make heaven. I am not going to make any excuse for people smoking. You know, we don't think that's that. My grandmother was very, very hard against that. And she especially didn't like it if a woman was smoking. In her mind, for whatever reason, it was a little bit more acceptable, at least was more accustomed to the men smoking. But a woman smoking was just, she was a woman, it was repulsive to her. One day, she had went into town and was sitting in the vehicle. Perhaps Grandpa went inside the store, I don't know, but there was a woman pulled up, they parked over here, and she was just puffing away. And my grandmother was looking over there, and she looked back at my grandmother, and my grandmother gave her a frown. And she said the Lord started talking with her. He said, what would happen if I sent her to your congregation next Sunday? See, that's not having feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, you see. See what I'm saying here? We can treat our fellow man in such a way. I'm not saying she was wrong with feeling like the woman shouldn't be doing what she's doing. I'm not saying that at all. But how we treat one another. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the good news. That when the time comes that we can share the gospel of the good news with them, we haven't put up roadblocks. We can make them feel as though we don't care about them by the frown on our face. Lord, help us. This is also part of keeping our hearts with all diligence. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. Put this around your thinking, this helmet of this faith that you have received and you've found valuable. And when the devil starts slinging at you, you say, no, my anchor is beyond the things that I'm struggling with. I have my faith in Jesus Christ and this helmet of salvation. I have boundaries in my mind. I don't let you, devil, come in there and infect my heart and my mind, having this helmet of salvation around you. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. This one gets me for sure. I don't think I do enough of that. Praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm not going to go any farther in that, but I want to encourage us today as we look at ourselves and we look at the Scripture, we look at what the Lord says to us. He says, He gives us not just a warning, but an encouragement that says, be careful with your heart. Be careful what you love. Be careful what you let yourself go out after, because it has long-acting ramifications. I see our young couples raising children, and I love them, and I want them to grow up to know the Lord. And so, then my prayer is for you, our young couples, that you keep your heart with all diligence, because your children are going to catch what you see as valuable. They will also grow up to think that's valuable. Mom and Daddy thought this was important, and it will give them a benefit, at least in life. I know it takes the Lord to save. I understand that. But folks, Lord, help us have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But it's not just our young folks and our young couples that are raising children, but all of us, that our hearts would be more and more the reflection of our Lord. That when He looks down on us, He would say, this is my child. This is my dear child. This is the one who values me. And we find each other every once in a while in a closet. And we're praying. And I commune with Him and I share my desires with Him. And His heart is turned toward me. And I feed His soul. And He comes out of there with a more godly perspective. And He learns. He's learning my way. Keep our hearts with all diligence. For out of that heart flow the issues of life. And it's going to flow the direction that your heart, wherever your treasure is, there will our heart be also. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord.